Everybody take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts. Acts chapter 28. We're going to read a few verses, verses 1 through 6. So when you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter 28, and starting in verse 1 through 6. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the Barbatius people showed no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened upon his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this is a man, or this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down death suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. Actually, we'll stop right there. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage. And Dear Heavenly Father, once again, these are your people. This is your church. Dear Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you, even though Pastor is gone. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you meet with us. I pray that you take full control. Once again, if anything happens here tonight, it's going to be because of you, not because of me. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you decide to meet with us tonight. And Dear Heavenly Father, do a work in our midst. Have the Holy Spirit, just please give the Holy Spirit free reign in our midst tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I tell you what, one thing that I do not like is vipers. And one thing I do not like is snakes. And I'll never forget, I wasn't there. Stephanie tells a story. She probably tells it a whole lot better. When we were in New Jersey, we lived on a campground. And Stephanie kept on giving reports, Stephanie and the kids, on how there was a snake in the campground. And I'm thinking, you know, like, yeah, you've seen a snake, you know, it's about yay big along. And this one particular day, it was raining pretty good, and Stephanie calls me up all frantic, and she's like, "I found a snake." I'm like, "Well, just chop the head off, you know." And anyway, she's like, "No, it was a snake." And I'm like, "Well, listen, it's either a snake or it's not a snake. There's no such thing as a snake." And so here she's trying to describe this thing. She's like, "It's 8 feet long." And I'm thinking, "Yeah, right. There's whatever." You know, I'm on the phone. I'm like, "Listen, I'm at work. I got to get back to work. Sure, the thing is 8 feet long." You know, so she goes after it. And she is chased. Here's the thing is, I think if I remember the story right, it started looking in the windows. And at that point in time, I think she figured out that it was time to kill this thing. And so here's the thing is, she goes after it with a shovel, which I'll be honest with you, impressed me after I found out what kind of snake it was, or the size of the snake. And here's the thing is, as she goes after it, and she goes to chop the head off, and evidently she was horrible aim because it went through a bucket and into the siding. And anyway, she's over there chasing it, and I guess it's slithering through the water. Here's the thing is, I come home, and there's a hole in the siding, the bucket's destroyed. You know, I'm thinking, it's an overreaction. Until about a week later, Brother Lee caught the snake and put it in a bucket, and it had a lid on it. And I looked in the bucket, and I'm like, yeah, that wouldn't have been me. And here's the thing, is they decided that they were going to put a brick on it. They walked away and came back, and the snake was gone. So here's the thing is, from then on, I'm thinking, great, we have an angry snake in our midst. And so, but here's the thing is that, listen, you know, I'm sure this was a lot worse. I've never been bit by a snake. And here's the thing is, if you get bit by a snake, there's no way I'm sucking the venom out of it. So here's the thing is, you're on your own. Brother Watson, he's the medical professional. He's a professional venom sucker if ever I saw one. And but anyways, I don't even know. Brother Watson, does that really work? No. All right. And so the professional has spoken. And but anyway, so the thing about it is that you know, here you have, you know, a lot has happened. And Paul is on his journey to Rome. Paul was going to Rome as a prisoner, and many trials awaited him in Rome. Here's the thing is, as you flip back to Acts chapter 27 and verses 22 through 25, the Bible says, "And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no less any man's life, no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee, Baptist Boys Battalion." You'll recognize this verse. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, and it shall be even as it was told to me." And so here you have Paul is promised by God that there's not going to be any loss of life, and there's going to be a shipwreck, and here they are on this island, and you know what? Just like God had promised, there was no loss of life. And it's amazing how God always comes through with His promises, you know. And sometimes we get a little surprised at things, but you know what? God always comes through on His promises. And so here's the thing: is they were stranded on an island, but all were alive, and they were met by natives, a warm fire and trouble ahead, because out of this fire came a serpent that attacked Paul. And the thing about it is that vipers often appear out of the fires of life. Times of trouble make us vulnerable. But you know what's interesting is in Isaiah chapter 43, the Bible has a promise for us. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, the Bible says, give me just a second to turn there. He says, "And he shall cry not, nor..." Actually, that's the wrong verse. Isaiah 43, verse 2. That one makes a little more sense. "When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Boy, here's the thing is, when we talk about the flame kindling upon thee, you know what automatically comes to mind is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But here's the thing is, God says, listen, I will be with thee. When fiery times come, I will be with thee. Now, here's the thing is Paul, we see in Acts chapter 28 that Paul shook off the viper. Now, the thing about it is there are things in our lives when trials happen that, I'll be honest with you, we need to shake off. We need to shake off. And here's the thing is Acts chapter 28 and verse 3, the Bible says, "When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand." Here's the thing is we need to shake off the viper of discouragement. Shake off the viper of discouragement. Here's the thing is we all get discouraged from time to time. But the thing about it is Paul was attacked while helping, doing good. He was gathering a bundle of sticks for the fire. You know, vipers often attack when we're doing right. Why? Because Satan wants to discourage us. Satan wants to keep us from doing what we're supposed to do. And I'll be honest with you, discouragement is probably one of the number one things, if I were to guess, discourage is probably one of the number one things that gets Christians out of the race, from running the race. The Bible says, run with patience to race. Why is he talking about patience? Because it takes patience to run the race. And the thing about it is you know what? From time to time, Satan's going to try and discourage us. And a lot of times, it's when we're trying to do good. Think about Elijah. Elijah gets done on Mount Carmel and fire rains down from heaven. And what happens later on? He gets discouraged. Here's the thing is, we need to shake off the viper of discouragement. Paul could have allowed this attack to make him doubt. He could have thought, you know what? Is God really in this? Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this what I'm called to do? And the thing about it is preachers all across America, the thing about it is they get discouraged and they quit the ministry. This is why most preachers only last about 3.5 to 4 years in a church. Why? Because the viper of discouragement gets to them, just like the viper of discouragement can get to any of us. And we need to shake off that viper and move on. God has called us to a specific calling. The thing about it is God told him, listen, my plan for you is to stand before Caesar. You're not going to die. You're not going to die in a shipwreck. You're not going to die from a viper. The thing about it is I've called you for a reason, and you're going to fulfill that reason. Now, the thing about it is you know what? This viper could have discouraged Paul, but he decided to shake it off. Let God's promises deliver you. Shake off discouragement. The next one is found in verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging from his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Now here's the thing is, I don't know about you, but that's not the first thing I think when there's a snake hanging off somebody's hand. Right? Here's the thing is, if I see Rusty walking in screaming, I can't see Rusty screaming ever. And but if he has he'd probably walk in, there's a snake hanging off my hand. You know? And the thing about it is if he came in with a snake, I wouldn't automatically think, you know what? He's a murderer. And I'd be thinking, he better be a murderer and that snake better be first, you know? But the thing about it is listen, I don't know what these people were thinking. They saw this viper hanging off the hand and you know what? They started making assumptions. Hey, this guy's probably a murderer, but here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, there's going to be people like that all the time. They're going to make assumptions. They're going to look at you and say, that Wilman guy, man, he's ugly, you know? And here's the thing is, they can make all kinds of assumptions. And listen, if we live life long enough, there's going to be people making assumptions. And the thing about it is most of the time, they're not true. Now, if it's about Lillian, it probably is. And I'm just joking. But here's the thing is, tonight's a bad night to be sitting in the auditorium. But the thing about it is that the reaction to the critics is, no doubt this man's a murderer. Many are quick to judge and falsely accuse. For one, let me say, let's not be one of the ones judging and falsely accusing. But at the same point in time, when somebody falsely accuses us, let's shake off the viper of criticism. Now, the thing about it is let me back up a little bit. When the criticism comes from the correct place, we shouldn't be shaking it off. When the criticism comes from God, let's not be shaking off the criticism that God gives, because that criticism is an opportunity for us to get better. Without the criticism from God, so to speak, from the Word of God, we just talked about this morning about looking into the perfect law of liberty. I could see something in the Bible and say, listen, I'm not doing what I should here. All right, moving on. Or I can say, listen, I've got something to deal with. I'm talking about criticism from somebody that doesn't have the right to criticize, that God hasn't placed over us. Because the thing about it is there are times where, I'll be honest with you, there was times where when I was growing up where my pastor would pull me aside and say, Scott, I seen something that was concerning. I love you a lot. And because I love you, I want to try and help you become better. That kind of criticism we shouldn't be shaking off. But when somebody walks up and says, Rusty, you got a viper hanging off your hand, you must be a murderer. And if Kylie disappears, I know what happened. And, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, you know, and as silly as that is, sometimes people accuse us of some pretty crazy stuff, some pretty wild out stuff. And here's the thing is, unfortunately, out in the world, there's someone else that'll listen to it. And, but the thing about it is we've got to shake off those that are quick to judge and to falsely accuse us. And here's the thing is, we are not the ones to endure this kind. We are not the only ones to endure this trial. Imagine being Paul. You know, here's the thing is, here's a viper hanging off his hand, and all of a sudden people start accusing him of murder. And I'm sure Paul's thinking, this is not what I need right now. A little help, please. You know, and the thing about it is Jesus was constantly criticized. Think about that. Now, here's the thing is, if you can criticize the perfect man ever, the one and only perfect Jesus Christ, you can criticize any one of us. Because let me tell you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And you know what? If you look even remotely close, I'm sure you can find something to criticize. Now, the thing about it is Matthew chapter 9 and verse 3. You look at it. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 3, they criticize Jesus. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man is blasphemous. Now, here's the thing is, it's not blasphemy because Jesus was the Son of God. They thought it was blasphemous because they didn't believe Christ was the Son of God. And listen, sometimes there are going to be people that criticize you because they don't understand the God you serve. They don't understand the commandment that you've been given. Some people will criticize you for witnessing to them. Some people will criticize you for standing for right. There's times where I've had family members say, listen, why do you put God in the church before you put family? Well, you know, blood is thicker than water and all these other things. The thing about it is you got to shake it off and say, you know what? God has called me to a purpose. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to fulfill my, I'm going to Charlie Mike continue the, actually, what was that? Continue the mission. And here's, it's bad when I start to use something and to forget it halfway through. But here's the thing. Don't criticize me for it. I'll shake it right off. And but anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, we need to continue the mission. Hey, God has given us a plan. God has given us a purpose. Hey, listen, as Calvary Baptist Church, you know what? We're here to fulfill a goal. We're here to fulfill a mission. Hey, our purpose of Calvary Baptist Church is to see souls saved, to see lives changed, and to build people. Thing about it is you know what's interesting? I read something the other day. You know what? Churches, people are not there to build the church. The church is there to build the people. And the thing about it is that, listen, we as a church, we've got to get to the point where we're focused on building people. Why do we do what we do if we're trying to build the church, if we're trying to make the building look better, if we're trying to do this just for our purpose? The thing about it is Calvary Baptist Church has not fulfilled our purpose. When we use the facilities to build people, when we use our talents to glorify God and to build people and to try and be a blessing, then we've fulfilled our purpose. But the thing about it is you know what? There's going to be some people that criticize. You know, when I knew a piano player that as a young child was criticized, and that person got discouraged and stopped. Eventually, later in their lives, God used them in a great way. And you know what? They're being used greatly in the area of piano. Now, the thing about it is listen, we've got to shake off the criticism that keeps us from doing what we're supposed to do. They call Jesus a blasphemer. And here's the thing is, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 34, the Bible says that, but the Pharisee said he casted out devils through the prince of the devils. Here's the thing is, they told Jesus, basically, he was in league with Satan. Now, how opposite can you get? And here's the thing is that if they'll believe it was of Jesus, don't you think that they'll believe criticism of us? And next, he was. Here's the thing is, remember how Jesus responded to criticism. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll be honest with you, this is the hardest thing when dealing with criticism. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, the Bible says, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. I'll be honest with you. The first thing when somebody comes up and starts criticizing me, you know what my flesh wants to do? My flesh wants to just tear into them. Who in the world are you? Let me tell you about your flaws, bucko. You know? And the thing about it is that that's the fleshly response. But God says, hey, listen, shake it off. Just shake it off. Listen, here's the thing is, the people that criticize, I'll be honest with you, the verse that comes to mind for those is casting not our pearls before swine. Listen, the critic, the person that's, the Proverbs calls them a scorner, thing about it is I'll be honest with you, you can waste your time with a scorner. And the thing about it is you'll accomplish absolutely nothing. But the thing about it is that we need to go and we need to find somebody that we can take and encourage, somebody that we can be a blessing to, somebody that we can somebody that we can help grow spiritually, disciple. That's the word. And anyways, the thing about it is that we should look for some path that we can take. That we take and use for the glory of God. So that's how Christ responded to his critics. Here's the thing: is Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible says in verse 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's the thing is, you want to shake the viper of criticism? Look to Jesus. The thing about it is think about this. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Here's the thing is, a lot of times when we have somebody that's critical and we have those people that are just sitting there nagging at us and being critical, the thing about it is you know what? It's easy to start feeling sorry for ourselves. It's easy to start thinking that we're just going through something that's beyond degree. But the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, what will give us strength is looking unto Jesus. Hey, what did Christ endure for me? What did Christ endure for me? Hey, Christ wasn't discouraged when he's hanging on the cross. The thing about it is he was spit upon, he was mocked at, he went through so much for me. The thing about it is what can I go through for him? See, the thing about it is most of the time those critics come when we're doing something for God. See, the thing about it is when we take and we sell out to God and we decide that we're going to be passing out tracts and we're going to be witnessing to our family and we're going to be inviting folks to church and we're going to be getting on fire for God and being a part of a ministry and doing things and decide that we are going to do everything we can for God. You know, there's going to be those critical people. Well, you're just a Bible thumper. Well, you know what? What do you think you are? And here's the thing is they're going to be criticized, but listen, we need to look to Jesus. I guarantee you the most important approval that we can ever get would be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'll be honest with you. There is one person that we should look for approval, and that's Christ. Shake off the viper of, turn your Bibles back to Acts chapter 28 and verse 6. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly. But after that they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. Here's the thing is, shake off the viper of low expectations. You know what's interesting is they looked at him and they were waiting. I don't know if they said, hey, Rusty, check this out. Watch this guy. All right, pretty soon he's going to foam at the mouth. Pretty soon he's going to start flopping all around like a fish. Hey, it's going to be, I don't know. But here's the thing is, they had low expectations for Paul. For one, they thought he was a murderer. And when that changed, they decided, you know what? Hey, watch this guy. They expected Paul to swell up and die. See, the thing about it is some have low expectations for you as a Christian. They might be waiting for you to stumble and fall. See, the thing about it is I've had lost loved ones. I've had lost loved ones that, you know what? They were just waiting. I had a cousin that would try and show me stuff that he had no right trying to show. He no right for him to even look at. And the thing about it is he was trying to get me to fall, just so he could poke his finger in me and say, you know what? I knew those Christians couldn't handle that. I knew you were no better than that. And here's the thing is, you know what? I had another cousin when I was growing up. Trying to take me, we were in Montana at a family gathering, and he tried to take us out back and say, hey, why don't you have a drink of alcohol? Why don't you take a sip? Why? He was trying to get me to stumble. Now, the thing about it is there are people that are going to have a low expectation of you, and they're waiting for you to backslide. Shake off the faithless conclusions of others. Prove them wrong by being faithful to our Lord. The thing about it is, the Bible says, moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. The thing about it is, you know what? We need to shake off those low expectations. And we need to prove to them that God is able to take nothing and make something. See, the thing about it is those expectations aren't necessarily for you. It's the low expectations of God. Why? Because they're not walking with God. And they think that, here's the thing is, if they can get you to stumble, they think that that'll make themselves feel better about themselves. But the thing about it is listen, we need to shake off those faithless conclusions of others and prove to them that God is able. Young people, we sing the song, he's able, he's able, I know he's able, I know my Lord is able to deliver me. And the thing about it is listen, you can sing the song all you want, but the strongest proof that he is able is when we take and we live a victorious Christian life where we can take, you know, here's the thing is, they all know what our past was like. They all know what we had in the past, but the thing about it is, you know, know what? They don't know what God is able to do in the future. And God is able, if God can take a young man that everybody looked at and said, listen, this kid is getting in too much trouble. Listen, you know, nobody expected me to succeed. Now, the thing about it is listen, I am where I am, not because of me, but because of Him. And the thing about it is I've tried to live my life so that other people can look at me and say, God is able. Listen, there are other people, there are people around us in Bucyrus that don't know how good God is. They don't know how powerful God is. They don't know how God can take a life and change it and make it worthwhile and worth living. The thing about it is you know what? We need to shake off those expectations and show them that God is able. Show them that God can do great things. Show them that God can still change their life. You know, I remember going to a family conference where the guy was teaching a great pastor, and he was teaching on how to help your children turn out. And he said, one of the things that you ought to do is be a part of a life-changing ministry. It will show them the power of God and show them that God is able to change their life. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, if we want to be effective people for Christ on showing other people, we ought to be showing other people what God is doing in our lives, but also what God is able to do through us. See, the thing about it is when we're just sitting in the pews, God's not doing anything through us. When we just decide we're going to show up to one service or two services, God's not going to use us. The thing about it is if we're going to make a difference for God, we got to sell out to God and say, God, my life is yours to control. You know what? You can have my life. You can have my body. And you know, here's the thing is sometimes God wants us to say, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. That is where God can do some great things. We get involved in a church that is like this one, and we decide God is going to use us. And the thing about it is God does great things, like I believe He does through this. Imagine this. Imagine all those folks last year that were a part of our veteran service when over 30 people accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And that's a part of a life-changing ministry. Or all the people that were a part of Vacation Bible School where those handful of young kids accepted Christ, and who knows what kind of an impact Vacation Bible School made on the others. See, here's the thing is some important decisions can be made as a child. And I'll be honest with you, the older you get in life, the harder it is to make those decisions. So it is vitally important that we reach the heart of our young people. But what I'm saying is this. How exciting is it to be able to walk away from a VBS and say, guess what? Praise the Lord, a handful of young people got saved. To walk away from a ministry where the gospel is being preached and souls are being saved and lives are changing. And here's the thing is, what an awesome thing. But it takes shaking off the vipers of low expectations. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 10 and verse 10. The Bible says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. See, the thing about it is we can have daily victory in spite of our oppositions. In spite of the fact that somebody is trying to discourage us. Despite somebody is trying to criticize us. Despite the low expectations, God can give the victory. The Holy Spirit has equipped us to win. So tonight, we need to shake off those vipers and experience the joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Dearly Father, pray that you help us to shake off the vipers. It seems like so many times in life, it seems like so many of us, we try and do good things in our lives and we try and glorify you, and it seems like every now and then out of the fire comes a viper. Dearly Father, we can either let it discourage us, we can either let it cause us to quit, we can let it cause us to be ineffective Christians. Dearly Father, there's so much that can happen because of that, and I really didn't talk about that tonight. But Dearly Father, we thank you so much that you love us, you won't leave us through these trials. And dearly Father, I pray that you help us to continue to look to you. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless the invitation. Pray that you help it to be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name.